Welcome to another episode of What's the Mood with the Illinois Human Performance Project and Prescription Playbook, where we focus on a collective conversation highlighting prevention and public health efforts through community connection. We are so glad you're here.
All right, Jim, welcome to What's the Mood. It's great to have you on the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Julie. I appreciate it.
So just want to dive right in. Why don't you tell us a little bit about you and how this whole public speaking on mental health came to be in your world?
Yeah, it's kind of been one of those things. I know some, I used to not believe in the, like, everything happens for a reason, but there's just been a bunch of things in my life that I feel have kind of come together that has have caused me to go into this. And it's, I feel like it's almost my purpose, my passion. I used to think my purpose was like basketball player, then like coach, but I realized like this is something that I think I have potential to be very good at. And it kind of all started, you know, I had my struggles throughout my life when I was a college basketball player later on. And it was my mother who ended up, you know, finally sharing her story with mental health and being bipolar and how she was hospitalized. And that was like the impetus for me to get help for the first time. And then, you know, I got help, things got better, but I still had my setbacks. And there was a one setback where I was at St. Lawrence High School and I had to take a leave of absence. And I got better pretty quickly, but like the big turning point in my life was I was going to go in to my team or who I was coaching. And I was going to lie. I was going to say I had some sort of physical illness. And it was my mother who stopped me. And she was like, Jimmy, there's going to be a boy in that room that hears what you have to say and goes and gets help because of what you tell them. You cannot lie. And as always, she was right. I went in, I told my story to those kids. It was one of the hardest things I've ever had to do. And not only did they accept it, they almost like rallied around it. We won 12 straight games after that. And that was the minor thing. The major thing was, sure enough, just like my mom said, about a month and a half later, I got a knock on my office door and it was one of my players. And I could tell just by looking at them that they were struggling. And we ended up getting him the help that he needed. And after that, I kind of thought, you know what, I'm going to start talking about this more. But I didn't do it publicly. The first time I ever did it publicly, my mom died probably like 5 years after that. And I wanted to share, they had me deliver the eulogy, and I wanted to share all the things that you normally share in a eulogy. But then I decided, you know what, I'm going to share how she helped me the most. And how she helped me the most was by convincing me to get help, but then also convincing me to share my story. And my wife and I joke around a lot about this, but like, I didn't know one person, and this was only 7 years ago, I didn't know one person who struggled with mental health. After that moment at in a packed house at St. Cletus Church at my mom's funeral, I knew a ton of people. And the reason why I knew it is because they started calling me, texting me, stopping me in public, saying like, hey, I was at your mom's funeral. Thank you for saying something. And then it just kind of snowballed where I started speaking at my own school. And then I spoke at other schools. And it's kind of snowballed from there.
Wow. Well, thank you for sharing that. You know, I think sometimes the in our society, the idea of telling the truth or being vulnerable about what's really going on, there's like this voice that can be like, no, we can't do that. And
yeah,
you didn't listen to that because your mom had encouraged you to choose the path of honesty. But it seems like the path of honesty and vulnerability just opened the door for you to discover like a calling in a lot of ways.
Yeah. And you use the word vulnerability. I always, me and my wife, I'm embarrassed to admit this, but we watch the reality TV show, The Bachelor, and they, there's always like a word that they have through the seasons, and vulnerable has always been one of them. And me and my wife used to like look at each other and shake our head. But I have found doing this, that is like the number one thing. And it's allowed me to, one, be a pretty good speaker, but two, it's improved my teaching. I'm a high school teacher, And it has opened up doors for me with, some of my more difficult kids that when I have been vulnerable, it's just improved my relationships with those kids. And I think that would be like my number one recommendation to anyone, is just to be open and honest, because everyone struggles with something. And it's not that like people want to hear that I struggled, but they do like to hear that they're not alone. And when you hear someone else kind of open up about their struggles, I think that helps people.
Yeah, I think vulnerability gives others permission. I don't know where permission comes from for us to then feel like, oh, I can share that too, but it brings that. You and I had a phone call recently, and something stuck out to me where you said, I used to be one of those people who didn't believe in mental health, or I used to be one of those didn't believe in mental health kind of people. And how has that evolved for you and shaped the way that you interact with others?
I mean, I think the fact one, I think it's helped me in terms of like my message registering with people, because I think when you hear of like a guy that, thought it was soft or didn't believe in it or didn't think it was a real thing, and who's changed their opinion on that through over the course of time, I think that kind of hits those people who are kind of in that same mindset. And that's just how I grew up, though. Like, you grew up and like you didn't talk about things. And I grew up with a family of people who struggled with mental health, and no one talked about it. Like, I didn't know until years later. And I think I'm not saying anything bad about my parents. Like, I think they would have told me if they saw me struggling, but I became good at hiding it. And once they finally did, they told me. I guess what I'm trying to do is to, say things earlier, be preemptive before, someone goes into that deep, dark hole. And the first thing that I think you got to do is believe in it, or create some sort of buy-in with the people that you're talking to.
Well, it sounds when you're talking like you're choosing to lead the way in mental health conversations and normalization. And at Human Performance Projects, we spend a lot of time with young students, particularly athletes, talking all about their relationship with their mood and their mindset, sleep, nutrition, the chemicals they put in their body. And you have kind of been going down this path of interacting with young people. And I'm curious, what are some of the things that you hear from students who reach out to you, talk to you afterwards? Like what are you learning about the current state of mental health around us?
Yeah, the thing that I'm learning is I'm very encouraged in terms of like these kids nowadays have a much better understanding, better vocabulary to talk about it. Like, I would have never gone up to an adult and said anything, let alone about like something related to mental health. Like, now, every time I speak, kids come up to me, like athlete, like the star athlete of the school at one of these schools came up to me and talked to me. And like just hearing him talk about it, I was encouraged, because I think that takes real strength to do something like that. And, it leaves me in a better mindset for like the future of this. Like, when I go around now, and I live in LaGrange, Western Springs area by Lyons Township, I spoke at Lyons Township. Now, when I go around and like around the area, kids stop me all the time because they were there, and they come up and talk to me, and they're using a better vocabulary, better language that I think will help them deal with it in the future. And it kind of reminds me, when I speak to adults, sometimes I think it's even more powerful when I speak to adults, because we didn't grow up with that language. We didn't grow up with that. I think the kids nowadays are more prepared. Unfortunately, though, I think they're going through a whole lot more with the phones, with the internet, with the spotlight being on them. So while I think they're better equipped to handle it, I think they got a little bit more going on than we had growing up.
Do you think that there's a similar struggle, like you mentioned, hiding it? Do you think that occurs in this generation as well?
Yeah, I mean, I still think that, especially with boys, I think that's still happening, although I do think it's gotten better for sure. And I think the more we talk about it, the more we have voices, particularly with people who no one would think would talk about it. I think that's why my stuff works. Like, I had a pretty decent athletic start. I'm a big, you can't tell right now, but I'm like a big boy. I'm like 6'7". So when you look up and see someone like me talking about that, I think that, really helps.
Yeah. I was just listening to a podcast, and the lady was talking about how you have to walk within your story. Like it, if you don't own it, you're either like suppressed by trying to be something that you're not. And what the world needs is you, like the things you've been through, the things that make you. And I think learning about what you've stepped into is really inspiring, because being a grown man who has changed his mind, willing to admit that they saw it differently, has a growth mindset to invite other young men to see that as a possibility for them in the present and the future is a very needed thing in our time, and it's cool to hear that, that you have the courage to step into this and challenge some of the social norms that maybe shouldn't be norms anymore.
Yeah, and it kind of reminds, like, one of the things that really inspired me was one of my buddies from college. He came out as gay like 2 years after college, and it wasn't that, like, I was not like anti that at all. However, I just wasn't around it. Like, I didn't know anyone who was like that. And I think it was really powerful for me to have a really close friend who had dealt with that for a long time and hear him do that and then navigate that process. I think that was inspiring for me. Now, I'm not saying it's not the same thing, but to see him go through that and navigate that, and he lost some family members over it, but he kept going and kept going and kept going. And, like, I think that's powerful. And it changed my mindset. Again, it wasn't like I had a negative, but I just wasn't around that. And I think if I wasn't friends with him, beforehand, I never would have changed that mindset that I had.
Yeah, he chose to walk in his story like you're walking in
Yeah,
yours. It's
for
awesome.
sure. Yeah.
The Human Performance Project, we define performance as like the ability to show up as your best self. And it's been powerful to walk into rooms and ask young people for whatever their best is that day, that they bring it, and we would bring that to them. And that your best is can't be compared with what yesterday was. I mean, yesterday's best, I messed up our meeting time, right? But it's what I had in the moment. And today I had a different approach to the morning and what my best is to bring. And as you've navigated this mental health journey for you and your passion to kind of eradicate the stigma of mental health, what are the ways that you take care of yourself so that, Jim, wherever you go, whether it's with your family, as you teach, you walk into a room full of students, what are the things that help you show up as your best?
Yeah, I mean, I think that has been my biggest mindset change is, I struggle with mental health. I got help. At first it was medication, and there's people who are anti-medication. I get that, but the medication helped me, but it only helped me so far. It helped me kind of get out of that dark place. But then, like, I was hospitalized during COVID, and COVID was terrible. I absolutely hated it. It really was like a situational match with my natural chemical depression that really bothered me. And I was in the hospital, they started talking about more self-care. Like, what I would do is I would get like really bad and I would dig my way out of it. But then I would continue to do the same stuff. And then I would get really bad, continue out of it. And they started focusing on preventative things. And like exercise. Like I had stopped exercising at that point, and they started talking about the value of it. So I started doing that, getting out in the sun. We practiced every day when I was coaching at 5:30 in the morning. So I never saw any sun throughout the day. So I needed to do that. And one of the biggest things that I think has helped me, I was in a meeting in the hospital, and they started talking about the link between dehydration and depression. And like I was like kind of like falling asleep in the meeting, and I like woke up, and it was like one of those eureka moments where I was like, oh my God, I've been dehydrated my entire life. Like when I grew up, you were considered soft if you drank water, like during a practice, like coaches wouldn't let you have water. And like from that point forward, I like have become relentless staying hydrated. And like I don't know which self-care measure it's been, but all of those combined, I think, have kind of really changed my life. And and I'm not like the medication has helped me too, but like the self-care was like that final step for me that I really think has helped me.
You're like a poster child for Human Performance Project because it's a
Oh, yeah.
partnership with all of those things. Like, what is your relationship with water? What is the food you put in your body? How do you care for yourself? Sometimes self-care, I think, can be like the word vulnerability in The Bachelor, like self-care. But if you pause and you're like, care of self, wait, that is really important for preventative measures of not going to that pit of depression or getting to that place of mental unwellness where it's super hard to get yourself out of it,
No, I think it's that was, I always say, like, I had some temporary solutions along the way, but I think like that self-care piece was the final piece that I was missing. I guess the reason why I'm talking about all this now is like I want to shorten the time frame for like some of those kids out there, or even some of those adults out there to, kind of get that permanent solution a lot quicker than I did, because it was about like a 18-year process for me where I wish I had the knowledge that I think I do now.
Well, what a gift to the world to discover something so profound and then want to share it with others to help them along their journey and, like you said, shorten it. Okay, well, one last question for you, Jim. I know you're going to be around this year with the Human Performance Project, but on the days that are harder for you, maybe when it's tougher to get out of bed or to grab the water, to walk into the room to students, who inspires you and motivates you to carry on? Where does that come from for you?
I think it's a couple things. It's my kids, it's my family. Like I said, I was in that deep dark spot during COVID where like I was thinking about leaving my family. And like they are like my number one thing. Like that is all I care about. All I want to do is go home and play with my kids. And yet I still had that mindset. And I think that's what something like depression does to you. I always say it lies to you. It makes you think and do things that you never would. So I think I'm inspired to try to make things better for them growing up, because in all likelihood, with our family, my family history, like it runs deep. Like one of my kids are likely going to go through it. And in fact, my son, 10-year-old son, did at 8 years old. He had this thing called PANDAS, which I don't know if you're aware of what this is. It's like a reaction to strep throat, and you get severe anxiety. And he's like this happy-go-lucky kid, and he wouldn't go to school, he wouldn't play basketball. And I'm not one of those parents, but like he's actually pretty good at basketball, and he wouldn't like play. And like so that's when I kind of opened up to him for the first time. Now I didn't go like deep into it, but I just wanted him to know, like, hey, dad is someone that you can come talk to, because I know what it's like. I struggle too. Like, let's kind of navigate this together. And then I think the other thing is all these students that like write me letters, come up and talk to me in person, say things to me in public. I think they inspire me too to keep going. Like, whenever I hear kid comes up and talks to me, like one of the first things that I always say is like, that is true strength to me to come and say something. And I get inspired by that. And one of the things that I always say to them though, like after I talk to them, or like I always say, like, hey, you're struggling right now, after you get better, because I know you will, here's what I want you to do. I want you to share your story with someone else who you see struggling, and almost like that pay it forward type mindset.
Yeah. As you're talking, Jim, first of all, I'm so glad you came on the podcast. This conversation will be a gift to many people, I know. But something that sticks out for me as you talk about how you're stepping into your story, students come up to you have this posture of just like availability. Like I was going to ask you, well, what is it that has, people coming up to you? And I think I know what it is. I think you make yourself present and available to whatever in the moment comes because it's so true to your core, the way that you want to shape this topic in a healthier way in the world. And I think that's really cool.
Thank you. And it's funny too, is like I was not like this. Like I was the quietest kid that you think about at your high school, let's say.
Yeah.
That was me. I was like scared of my own shadow. But with something like this, I've just seen the power of talking about it. And it's almost like I want more of that. And every time, like I get a boost myself, like even after talking to you right now, like I'm gonna feel good. I'm gonna feel good when I get off this and I get a boost talking about this type of thing. So that's why I always say, like, share your story. It's to help others. Sure, granted, that's like 90% of the reason, but 10% is I end up feeling better myself. And it's almost one of those self-care type things for me.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing your authentic story. And we look forward to partnering more with you in the year. Thanks for coming.
All right, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.